Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And we are coming to you from the University of Manitoba campus.
Wow.
This is a thing. You guys can check us out at any time. Well, not our show, really, but you can come check out the radio station anytime. It's a cool place.
Yeah. We're busy. Don't bother us.
So on this particular show, we talk a lot about video games because we play a lot of video games. We collect a lot of video games, and really a lot of our life revolves around video games.
Yes.
And I'm Megan.
And I'm Alice.
And what did you play, Alice?
Well, I will talk about what I played because mine's more interesting than what you played. But let's talk about what you played because it's...
you want to get this pain out of the way early, huh?
Yeah. I will say we got to give you credit where credit's due that you beat a game. Like,
I don't feel good about it.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, congrats, Megan. That's another one off your list for this year. Congratulations.
I'm doing real good so far, you guys. Yeah. Except, okay, so we did get our free games from our PlayStation Plus subscription. Something I do have to say I take a lot out of. We got Shadow of the Colossus.
Yep.
Which I
already own.
Yeah, but I'm still going to probably download and play it because...
You never played it?
That way I don't have to take out your current DVDs that you're watching a lot of.
Yes, you do.
And the other free game, which I... played and beat was Sonic Forces from 2017. And it was
bad.
I beat it and I didn't stop playing it. I wasn't discouraged from enjoying some aspects of it.
I played 40 hours of Fallout 4 and I don't know if I enjoyed that, but I played 40 hours of that.
If I don't enjoy a game after 2 hours, I tend to put it away and play something I actually enjoy. You know, this is my bad habit of starting games and not finishing them.
And buying new games. Yes. So many games.
So I did start up this game, and I enjoyed it enough that I finished it. But there's not a...
Okay, let's start off first with what was the best part. We'll compliment Sandwich by doing stuff you liked, stuff you hated, and then the good game that I played. That'll be the end of the sandwich.
Okay, so some of the good stuff is, you should all know that I'm a huge fan of Sonic Adventure 2.
Mm-hmm.
This had a lot of that feeling about it. There's some really neat 3D levels that I kind of wish were longer and a little more in depth, but they were fun. There was also the 2D Sonic levels because they brought back Sonic from Sonic Generations for some reason.
I don't know if this does the story make sense.
No.
Okay.
The levels themselves were fun, and I liked making my own avatar, which was kind of neat, and that was a thing that was.
Yeah.
Hey, my character ended up being real cute in Sonic character terms.
Yeah. I can see where it could be. It's a little still generic. Like, it's, and the fact that your character doesn't even talk.
She gets some, you get choices of like 3 different voices, but there's really no lines.
But
there's
more
like,
like there's the noises she makes versus actual talking.
So it is neat to make your own character. I kind of do wish that she was given, you get choice of either making a male or female character. I kind of wish they were given more lines. Or lines at all.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think they're, like, I didn't see your character talk once.
And I think it's supposed to be like a sort of self-insert situation where you're supposed to, you know,
talk to the TV? Is this Dora the Explorer?
It's not quite that infantile. It's sort of like, I guess, insert yourself into the game. This is your everyman that you kind of customize. You can be a teal wolf. And I was a teal wolf, so that's what I did.
I like the character customization aspect. The fact that your character is just, it literally is a blank slate of fanciness. Like, that, there's nothing there.
Yeah, there's no characterization.
It's pretty looking. It's
weird. You
don't
even get to name your character. Your character's just known as the rookie.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I don't know if there's like, and then the thing, when did Sonic Mania actually come out? Like, Sonic Mania came out the same year or year after?
That's a very good question.
Oh, no, same year. So that's kind of embarrassing because, like, I just keep thinking as you're playing it, like, it's very hard to see where your character is versus everything else. And I think that's maybe a little bit of the flaw with the character design aspect is if you choose a character, let's say your character is like gray and you're in a level that's all gray, there isn't a lot to differentiate between your character and the background or the other enemies on screen, right? That was the other thing.
There was a reason why the three main characters are very bright yellow, orange,
yeah,
very bright red, and very bright blue.
Yeah, makes sense, right? So your eyes don't get lost, especially in something like a Sonic game where you move fast, right? You're going fast. It needs to pop out. Yeah, that was the thing, like... Yeah, and versus something like Sonic Mania, which you can see, it just, like, was crafted with so much care and love for the Sonic series versus this, which it just sort of, like, it looks like they brought it out to get money.
That's 100% what this was.
Because it was a full-price game at the time. I do believe it did drop pretty quickly in price because it's not that fun. It did have, like, a weird little crossover with Persona 5, like... You could get Persona 5 outfits for your character.
When you told me this, some part of my heart broke.
You were already at the end of the game, though, right? You're already at the end. It's too late for you.
This is like combining two flavors of things that I like. They should not be together. It's like chocolate and hot dogs. You should not be mixing your chocolate with your hot dogs.
Don't do this. So somebody's like, I love that. Anyway.
You know what? Some people do. And you know what? There's no judgment against them. But for me, no. Please don't. But I still beat the game for some reason. The storyline is, it's somewhere in there.
What is it about? Yeah.
You are.
Sonic dies in like the first like 10 minutes.
He doesn't die. He gets captured.
And they think he's dead.
you are
told that he's dead in the first.
He's badly
defeated.
Okay. He's very badly defeated because there is some new ally of Eggman who is bringing back all the enemies from all the past games. So you've got Shadow and Chaos and Zavok, whoever that was, and Metal Sonic, and they're bringing back some of the hits. The unlimited hits. And they are trying to enact some kind of a plan that's never really quite stated other than world domination. I mean, that's pretty much what you get. Eggman has a new ally called Infinite. Yeah, and he has powers over some other superpower gem,
like the chaos ruby. It was like the dimensional ruby or something, like, really, but it's a ruby.
The forbidden ruby.
I paid attention to that part somewhat.
So you're dealing with someone who can warp reality and make like a virtual reality, bringing back all these evil characters. And oh my goodness, I almost forgot that you can actually go back and play this whole thing as Shadow the Hedgehog and not just Sonic. Didn't get there, don't want to go there.
You can play as Shadow in this?
You can play as Shadow. Okay. There's a whole campaign with Shadow.
But is it different?
There's probably some aspects of the story that we didn't get playing with just the main characters.
Okay.
But it's like the darker, edgier version of the game.
I don't know. I don't think so.
That's the whole reason why Shadow exists. So you are trying to rescue Sonic, then you're trying to save the world, you're trying to rescue everybody and fight against Infinite's weird magical powers, and you certainly do that. And you have a whole army behind you. They start introducing characters that have no purpose at all, just to say one line. You're like, howdy, robot character from a game that's from like 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Goodbye, robot character who was in a game from 16 years ago.
They didn't really do anything.
They did nothing. It's sort of like that whole Tuxedo Mask meme where it's like, my job here is done.
I was just
you
thinking
didn't
that.
Do anything.
Yeah. Leaves. Like, that's what I was also just thinking.
And you have an entire military, fuzzy animal military force made up of the same.
See?
No, you see them.
Oh, okay.
They're the same four animals, weird looking animals, repeated again and again and again. It is a whole bunch of weird looking rabbits, bears, and other things.
Do you feel that they could have scaled back certain aspects to make this game look better? because it looks very bad for a 2017 game.
You know what? They didn't have to scale back anything. They just should have spent longer making it.
Well, that's, and yeah, I would assume, because I'm pretty sure it came out like around 2017 Christmas time. Like, I would assume that is the time they were trying to go for.
And unfortunately, that is the flaw of the Sonic series since the Saturn days, is that they don't take the time to make good Sonic games anymore. Sonic Mania and some of Generations accepted, because there's actual love and fans behind that.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, it's weird that Sonic Forces is even a thing. Like, there's, I get some aspect for the create your own Sonic OC. Like, that's a huge, probably was a huge draw. But the idea that it's just so lackluster, like, it's just you sort of make a Sonic OC, but at the same time, you're basically still just playing as Sonic, right? Like, Sonic is there for more than half of the time with you, right?
The benefit to the original character that you've got is that you get to use different weapons to, sorry, Wispens.
Yeah, that was a weird part. I don't
know why they did
is
that.
Is it a censor thing?
Probably a censor, like, thing, because it's for kids.
Is it rated E?
Probably. Okay. There's no curses in this one. There's no...
Well, Sonic doesn't usually curse, but I'm just saying, like, it's weird because Shadow has a gun.
In the particular Shadow game, which, you know,
was
a
maybe
thing.
Rated T.
That
but
was
I'm just
T.
Like, Shadow has... he's always has a gun. Like,
Shadow
his,
stole vehicles. Shadow is
weapon.
A criminal.
Yeah.
Shadow is what would happen if Sonic went bad.
If Sonic was a bad boy.
And I tried explaining to you the whole story behind Shadow once.
I understand to an extent, but I don't really care. He's just he's Sonic with a cooler color scheme and a gun. Like, that's about it.
And honestly, I can't lie, if this game came out when I was 12, I would have gone absolutely bonkers and adored this thing. But now, as an adult in 2017 who expects more out of video games now,
yeah,
I can't believe I actually spent time, and it gave me a stress headache.
I was wondering another question, just to put it out there, yeah. Like, is are just maybe we're not the target demographic for this? Like,
this is 100% true too. So.
Yeah, like, but at the same time, I don't know. Like, kids don't have to play crap, right? That's the other thing. Like, there are games that are for children that are good. Same thing. Like, all media that's, you know, it doesn't have to be just because it's for kids doesn't mean we have to not take time and effort into it.
You should be putting more effort into the stories. You should be putting more effort into the gameplay. And you should be putting more effort into just everything about the Sonic series, because playing this was great for my inner child, but I hated the fact that this is what Sonic has been reduced to.
Yeah,
and I'm a fan who loves Sonic still. Yeah. For some reason, it keeps hurting me, but I keep coming back.
And you tried to like be like, Kingdom Hearts has just as cheesy.
I tried.
But the thing is, and it all, or like, and this game just has some terrible dialogue, but Kingdom Hearts at least is very earnest about its love of hearts and heart metaphors. Whereas this is just like they are just reading out lines for a paycheck, and it's just not.
I love the voice actors in this, but you know they're just there to get a paycheck. This means really
little.
And
that's fine, but it's just like it's obvious. It's not enjoyable. Like there's no life to these characters, especially considering the situations of which they are talking. Anyway. And yeah, I saw a good, I don't know, you play like maybe 2 hours of it-ish.
You saw me beat the boss, and even yeah. That was kind of...
Well, it's a little bit also, well, here's the thing. Even for kids, it's a little bit, I would say, and you were playing on easy, so I would say for children, they would also probably play on easy. I would say it's a little bit difficult because there are things like if you fall down, you have to restart quite a bit far back, like even in terms of like with boss fights. And sometimes that's okay, sometimes that's not okay, but once again, if the target demographic is children...
The boss fights are pretty much where you have two children, one little kid is playing, and passes the boss fights off to the older sibling to beat.
Yeah, that 100%, that would be the case, you're
so,
right.
So Sonic Forces is free on PlayStation Plus.
If you want to check it out.
If you want to check it out.
So is Shadow of the Colossus, which is an infinitely better game, slightly. Well, story-wise, yes.
Story-wise and...
And art-wise.
And art-wise.
I don't know gameplay-wise, because I'm, like, once again, big Shadow of the Colossus fan, but it's they didn't update those controls and they weren't good in the first place.
It is a challenging game.
It's good though.
But yeah, we've gotten my chunk of this game done and I did actually beat it. It's now your turn to tell me about what have you been playing lately?
I didn't beat a game, but I started on it. And because I said I would, I got Kentucky Route Zero finally. I grabbed it for the Switch. I don't know why. I like the Switch. That's why. I like the handheld capability. And Kentucky Route Zero is like a really neat game. I almost want to say it's more like an interactive story versus a game. Like it's one of those, which that's sort of my favorite, almost my favorite kind of genre. Like I love me a point and click. And this basically, it takes place in sort of, I want to say, an alternate future, sort of. And it is all dialogue. There is actually really great aspects where they have music that they've written for this game. And there's a bunch that I actually had forgotten about. Like, I played the first three acts when they were out. It actually finally finished and wrapped up this year, January. So we have Act 5, which is when they came out with, it's called the Kentucky Route Zero TV edition, which if you play the game, it'll make a little more sense. There's an aspect of television and technology in this. The main plot of the game is you play as this truck delivery driver named Conway. One of my favorite little aspects is you get to choose your dog's name. Also, you cannot give the dog a name, which kind of is like, I've never not done that, but there's a dog with a little straw hat, and the dog is your first little companion, and you can talk to them. I named my dog Homer in this case, which is a very obvious reference to Homer's Odyssey in this case. This game is very cute. This game is very surreal. Like, it is a surreal game. So as Conway, you're supposed to make a delivery to this road, and you think you're supposed to go down this road called the Zero, like Route Zero. And it's sort of hard to find. You don't really know how to go there. And the first place you stop at is a gas station called Equus Oil. And you meet this guy. I think his name is Joseph. And he's just there. And he sort of will chat with you and talk to you about stuff. And it already starts to get sort of weird because you go down into the basement of this gas station. I will say at this gas station, there's a giant horse head, like, outside. Like, giant.
For
like,
Equus gas station.
Yes, it's pretty cool. And then you go into the basement, and I just realized this now. And once again, I've played this game before. But I just realized as you go down, the whole basement is shaped like the rest of the horse's body. It's pretty brilliant. And there's just sort of things that start to happen. You know, people are there, and then they're not. There's conversations that happen that you're not a part of. There's a lot of like other characters that have interactions that you don't get to see. I will say this is sort of a part of the TV edition is what wasn't originally in the original chapters. They have these little in-betweens between chapters and they're really very interesting and they sort of give a different style of gameplay. Like, primarily, this is, like, the style of gameplay in this is, it's weird. Basically, you are a little wheel on a black map with roads everywhere, and you roll around, and you sort of come up. There are sometimes little signs or little places you can go and interact with and just make a little comment about, or there are places you can actually go and interact with, and that's sort of how the game progresses. Like, you are basically, the whole thing is you're trying to find your way to this road, which is past Kentucky Route Zero. And that's sort of what the whole game is. I've never beaten it. I will, though, now that it's done. I did get up to the third act, which is the act that I'm on right now.
What kind of genre would you say that this is exactly?
In terms of, like, thematically?
Yeah. Is it sort of a Southern Gothic? Is it fantasy or sci-fi? Or is it a...
If I knew more about Southern Gothic, I probably could pick up on that. There's definitely sci-fi aspects of this because this is sort of a futuristic world, but it's more mundane than that. Like, and the thing with the Kentucky Route Zero is it's sort of almost like a supernatural phenomenon that people are aware of, but it's like they sort of know how to get there. Like, when you are on the Kentucky Route Zero, it's different from every other road that you've been on, is your tiny little wheel self. The markers are weird things. So there'll be like a pipe organ. There'll be a sandwich. There's crystals. There's like a bunch. And you are sort of given instructions on how to get to places via these landmarks. It's a little confusing. Like, ones you have to get to the crystal and then go back, and then it'll appear. But that's after going around in a circle for, like, 5 times. And you're not the fastest little wheel, but this isn't really a game about, like, pummeling through stuff. Like, there's no shooting. There's no, like, fast car chases. It's just sort of, like, a meditative, thoughtful thing that it really is about the words that are written in the imagery. Like, so, for example, in the second act, you meet this little boy who is on top of this giant building. And at this point, Conway has been injured. His leg is pretty bad. You've also met up with this other girl named Shannon, who is just helping you out. She's nice. She fixes TVs. And you are on top of this giant building. It's raining. And this little boy named Ezra his brother takes you to go see a doctor, and his brother is a giant eagle. So there's stuff like that, and it's very interesting because it's not explained. It's not really like, that's weird, you know, like nobody's like, hey, why is your brother a giant eagle, little boy?
This is just the thing that is.
Yeah, and it is very like Southern, like everybody, there's not a lot of future tech around, like it, other than Kentucky Route Zero, but visually, it's very simple in comparative to, you know, when you actually go into a place with it. I would say sci-fi is probably a good, probably.
Like sci-fi light, maybe?
Yeah, it is a very light sci-fi, but I would say maybe even, like, it deals with, like, metaphysics or, and stuff.
I guess you can go, like, low sci-fi the way you would low fantasy.
Yeah, like, it's very, yeah, very mundane. And, like, another thing is about the world is, like, people have to put in coins for power and stuff, which is sort of almost a thing that is reflected in everyday life, but it's to the extent that it's, like, you even at work. So, like, there were people in mines, and they would have to put coins in to keep, like, the lights on in the mines for them to continue to work. Huh. So, yeah, it's in this kind of world where even things like loans, like, people loan their, like, parts of their house or loan parts of their car or something, and then they can get it taken away. Sort of very similar to real life, right? But to
like
an extreme.
Like heavy-duty capitalism.
Yes. And this isn't really, it's not really, like, begrudged against, but it's just sort of, like, a place that these characters are in or a situation that these characters live in, and this is their world that they have.
A fact of life for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, it is. Because, like, your characters who are Conway, primarily Shannon is probably a little more against it than anything, but Conway is older, and he's just sort of, like, trying to get his delivery done, trying to sort of live out his life and continue on. He, you know, they're not really trying to push against the grain. They're just trying to continue living in it, which is interesting. Like, Ezra is, you know, he's a little boy that pops up. You do get more characters, Junebug and Johnny. And Junebug's a character, like, I did talk about it, I think, last episode. We were talking about the music in Kentucky Route Zero. And because it's really, really good, there's a lot of just little moments where, like, here's another moment where you come from a old farmhouse or a little old house, and there will be in the foreground these guys, these musicians just playing a song. And you can just sort of sit and listen and just enjoy that. And the other one was where Junebug sings at the bar, and you get to choose the lyrics as the song is playing, and it'll change according to, like, there is an quote-unquote official version of the song, but you can make your own sort of version of the song, which I think is fantastic and brilliant.
That's a very neat idea.
Yeah, I actually saved it at that point so I could show you it, but yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I know. So that's where I'm at in that game. I will finish it now that it's actually out. I am, like, enjoying the fact that there is a lot more, even in the fact that there is a little intermission between the second and third episode where, or third act or whatever they're called, where it does sort of introduce why Junebug was so late, or the people who are waiting for her at the bar to show up, and it gives a lot of more character backstory to very minor side characters, which is really interesting. And I just like that they have added a bunch more onto this game. Like, and once again, I played this like when it came out, whenever it came out. It was a while ago. It's finally finished once again. And it is pretty good. It's around like $30 for us Canadians on like the Switch or PlayStation 4. I think it must be on Xbox. It's on like everything now, mostly. Not iPad, though. I would have got it for iPad if I could have. Because I love my iPad.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Another thing Yeah, that sounds really cool. I'm going to have to start playing.
It's cool. It's like it's very chill. I would say it is text heavy. That would be my one. If you're not into text games or have trouble reading or whatever, like, that's not the best part because there is so much text in it. But narratively, it's a very interesting game. Like, it's very strong.
So I've also took a peek at Pokemon Home, which came out.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
It's a means of transferring Pokemon from your DS, Sun and Moon, Pokemon Go, and Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Is this included, like, now would I be able to transfer from my 3DS, but I wouldn't have to have, like, that online Pokemon thing? Like, remember what I'm
talking
about?
Pokemon Bank?
Yeah, would I have to pay for Pokemon Bank?
That's what I'm trying to figure out right now. I'm pretty sure I do because it's not available on the DS, but I know there is means of transferring from Pokemon Bank over to Pokemon Home. It's offline at the moment. But I have been transferring from Pokemon Go onto Pokemon Home, and I have a Bulbasaur. That was when you get to choose a starter on that one.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
So that is how...
And you can put your starter... Could you put your starter... I guess you can't put them in Sword and Shield, though, right?
When they finally have that up and going, yes, it
will
be.
When they have the update. I guess that update is
soonish,
ish.
I
feel the first one's in summer, which is soonish, you know.
I'm still waiting for the so-called update for Pokemon Sword and Shield so I can actually start transferring more, but that's not happening quite yet, but I have been playing on that. It's coming, guys, and then soon I'll be able to play with all my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah.
The way I want to.
Well, not all of them, though.
Large majority of them.
Yeah, not all of them. Not Alice's favorite Pokemon, Kabutops, who, once again, I'm not complaining.
Although.
Because my favorite Pokemon's Kabutops, and nobody loves Kabutops, so just calm down.
I just want my green Espeon to be transferred over. That's all I want,
your
guys.
Pride and joy.
My shiny Ampharos is really my pride and joy.
But you can't have that.
Not yet. But yeah, Pokemon Home is coming. Next week is Animal Crossing. Not next episode. We're going to have to wait a little while for that. But I think I'm actually going to get an opening day Animal Crossing.
That's fine.
I'm falling for the hype.
That's fine. You know what? It's going to be like the same thing how I was when the other one came out. Like, I'm going to watch everybody play it and be like, oh, I have to do it. And then I'm going to abandon my town somewhere along the line and feel bad about it. This is the vicious cycle.
We're adopting this town together, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be like a two-person job.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
All right, everybody. That's everything we got for you for this week. Keep slacking.
Bye.
And don't play Sonic Forces.
Okay.